Momo. Kurogiri. Kill him. I'll deal with the children.
I'm afraid that I barely have a minute left in this form. My power's declining faster than I thought it would.
Let's clear this level and go home.
Even so, I have to stop these villains.
Heads up, we're fighting after all.
Because I am. The world's symbol of peace and justice!
You listening? One of his powers is shock absorption.
Yeah? What about it?
He's gonna fight that brain guy head on?
Whoa, they're so fast!
No, I can't get near them.
He said your quirk was only shock absorption, not nullification. That means there's a limit to what you can take, right? So you were made to fight me, big guy. If you can really withstand me firing at 100% of my power, then I'll have to go beyond that and force you to surrender!
He's giving it his all, even though he's injured. Those aren't just random punches, either. They're targeted. And every single one of them is more than 100% of his power!
A real hero! We'll always find a way for justice to be served! These words before, but I'll teach you what they really mean. Go beyond. Plus. Ultra!
What's happening? Everything is shaking.
Did a villain just fly by? Or am I going crazy?
It was that brain dude.
Such power.
Oh, that's All Might for you. That's why he's the most amazing hero in the entire world!
That was like the finishing move in a video game. He beat the shock absorption right out of him. I've never seen that kind of brute strength.
Imagine having power like that. He must have been punching that monster so fast it couldn't regenerate.
He really is the best.
That's how you get to be a pro.
He did it.
Filler Arc, episode four.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. We've been busy with other things, but we needed to bring it back because we're falling behind. I mean, I guess we're not falling behind, but we are falling behind.
I mean, they did another season and there's another movie coming out and everything else. So we might want to keep up with it. Just saying.
Yeah, definitely. So I was like, what are we going to do? We need a topic. And Tom's like, we haven't done filler arc in like a month and a half. And I was like, yeah, definitely. You're definitely right. I feel like we just got caught up in all like the E3 stuff that happened.
In comparison to our, what is it, 20? Hold on. I need to find out what the actual count is on that. 24? Episodes of the side questing.
We have three filler arcs.
Three fillers and 24 episodes of the filler.
We are
side questing.
I blame me. That's my fault. I don't do a good job of running this podcast. I honestly don't. But OK, so we're going to try and plow through this because we both agreed that we would set a hard 1 hour time limit. And we're going to try very hard to stick to that 1 hour time limit.
And our recording was like, nah, bitch, not today.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, hey, Eric, you could just be a dumbass and forget your stuff at home and or at work and have to reset up your entire laptop and Zoom could not work. So that would be awesome. But we're going to dive into it. So, Tom, let's just go.
Yes.
Filler Arc, episode 4, and the episodes we're going to be covering today. I figure we won't just go episode by episode. We'll just like talk about everything that happens in these four episodes as a whole.
Right. Yeah. Because it kind of meshes together all in one set because it's a lot of jump cuts to different characters at different points in the episodes.
Yeah.
Like, it focuses a lot on Deku and what's going on his point of view. But there are points where it just literally is jumping from one group of people to another group of people to like intensity that's going on in another section. And then we got Eraserhead over here Batmaning people.
Yeah, everything kind of happens concurrently. So the four episodes that make up the season finale of season one, episode 10, Encounter with the Unknown, episode 11, Game Over, episode 12, All Might, and episode 13. In each of our hearts, that's what we're going to be covering today. And Tom, I got to say that before anything even happens, I saw a scene we're going to be talking about in a little bit here was what actually hooked me on the show because I saw the clip on YouTube before I even watched the show, the clip with All Might. And that's what got me immediately hooked. So I know you know what clip it is.
Yeah.
So we're definitely like these four episodes are probably if not my absolute favorite, like some of my favorites in the entire series, hands down.
Yeah. A lot of character development, a lot of like different, like it pulls a lot of things that you wouldn't normally see. Like it's very anime-esque, like, oh, the bad guys are here. Let's do what we gotta do. But it does it in a way where it's like, oh, these people don't know shit about what they're doing.
Yeah, so where we left off, it was about a month and a half ago. The last episode was Ida had just become class rep, and then we kind of jumped ahead to where class 1A was going to this building on campus called the USJ to do rescue training. And the USJ basically simulates disasters. They have like a zone for fires, a zone for landslides, a zone for shipwrecks, which is like insane if you think about it, that the school just has an entire building to simulate disasters. Like that's who funds this school.
You know what's funny? So USJ is also an acronym in real life in Japan. And the USJ in that sense is Universal Studios in Japan. And they make a joke about that. I think it's in the manga part of it where Uraraka and Deku are like USJ and they're thinking about like a theme park with all this stuff, and it's just their schools, like basically Danger Room from X-Men.
Yeah, essentially.
And they thought this was like an amusement park. So it correlates with real life Japan because they thought the USJ was Universal Studios Japan.
Which means that like everything that Universal Studios runs exists in the My Hero world, right?
Yes.
So like, is that Jurassic Park and movies such as that? I think so, definitely.
Is there somebody with a quirk that turns into a dinosaur? I know there's a dragon lady, but I don't know there's a dinosaur person.
And like depending on which time of this year you go to, like Universal Studios Japan could probably be like a disaster in and of itself because of all the people that are there. So, but yeah, so pretty much, yeah, what happened is like they're getting ready for the training. All Might was supposed to be there. He was commuting to work.
And he got stopped every 2 minutes to help somebody
resolve crimes. Yeah. He resolved three crimes in like an hour or something like that before he even got to school. And the way he does jumping through the sky, because that's how All Might commutes. And yeah, like you said, a swirling black cloud gate, very Kingdom Hearts-esque, opens up and a bunch of villains just start coming out.
Listen, I mean, one of the guys that walks out has white hair.
Oh, my God. He's Xehanort. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, no. Tom, we can't do this. Seriously. Like you said, a bunch of people come out, like 40, 50, just a bunch of dudes come out. But really the three that they focus on and come out last are the guy that creates the portal, who is just like a smoky black guy
wearing a suave ass fucking bartender suit.
Yes, which I think is hidden behind like that this metal thing he's wearing like on his neck, but we'll get to that later.
Yes. Yeah.
A giant like jacked purple guy with a brain sticking out of his head,
who looks like a giant bird.
Yes. And then Mr. Hansy.
Yes.
And these are like the three that you can guess, like just how much care their design has had. Obviously, they're the ringleaders. So
if I go back and I find out that there are 12 pairs of hands on him, he is Xehanort.
Just why saying. Do you do this?
Listen, okay, so
take it away. I'm Googling this and I'm Googling an image, but please take it away.
So all of them come out. Everyone starts thinking, or all the students, because it's all class 1A. So it's class 1A, Eraserhead, and a new pro hero that we've heard about, but we have not seen until this moment. Number 13. And 13
oh God.
Is, are there 12 hands?
There are 13 hands.
There are 13
there
hands.
There are 13 hands.
We have a new
Tomura Shigaraki. Is Xehanort.
It's another organization 13.
Oh my God. Okay.
So. Anyway, so number 13, the hero, is a, I'm guessing woman because they call 13 she. But you don't really see her.
She's in a spacesuit.
She's in a giant spacesuit. And you find out why later, because her power is the most dangerous thing on the fucking planet.
True.
So all the kids think it's a joke, like, oh, we're gonna be training like this, like there's gonna be prop villains kind of deal situation, and we just have to roll with it. They even Ida, I think, makes a comment like they wouldn't use real villains to fight us and everything. Honestly, with this school, I would not put it past them.
They use giant robots in the entrance exam.
Yeah. And wait till we get later on in the series when they have the hero training. I could see it happening. until the kids realize that they look back at Eraserhead, who was putting on his special grade goggles and loosening his necktie or his neck scarf or whatever you want to call it.
I call them mummy bandages. This is what they look like.
Yeah, they pretty much are. So they know shit's going down because he's got elevated. You know what I'm saying? He's got his gear going. 13 is telling them to jump back and everything. So everyone's getting worried now because obviously shit's going down. Eraserhead kind of takes the point to cut them off so the students can escape. He tells 13 to take everybody and run. Just go. At that time, there's a portal that shows up and it blocks them from escaping. Because fucking, what's his name? Is it Katagiri?
Kurogiri,
that's what it is.
I just watched the episodes this morning to prep for the episode.
Listen, I know more about that character and it kind of hurts. It hurts real bad.
I do too, because I've caught up with like about where the manga is. So
yeah, it hurts. Yeah.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. So, of course, the people that take action are Bakugo and Kirishima.
Without hesitation. Don't even know what he can do. Just dives right at him.
Yep. So he opens up two portals, sends them in opposite ends of the USJ. So what everyone doesn't know is that the people that came out of the portals, there was more of them in other areas of the USJ that were specified for their uses, like their quirk uses. So there are like a bunch of people in the water area, like the shipwreck zone, I think they call it, which sounds like a Sonic area, which I'm okay with that.
No Green Hill Zone, though.
No Green Hill Zone. So in the shipwreck zone, they have a bunch of people whose quirks are based around water. And then they have, I think, like Steelworks, which is like a big like industry area. Mind you, this is not a school grounds. And they have like full industrial size complexes in each section of this thing that take up what would be normally the size of like three gyms on their own. And I'm talking like college gyms. Like
oh, definitely.
Huge.
Enormous.
enormous gyms. So the students are starting to get separated into different areas because Kuragiri is just teleporting people everywhere. And this is where you see what 13 can do. I believe that that's right after. Yeah, because she's trying to stop him from getting any of the other students. A little flap opens up on her finger. It's like a little like nozzle.
It's like a almost like a thimble. It just like pops open.
Yeah, it just like pops open. And all of a sudden it just starts basically draining everything from Kuragiri.
Yeah, her quirk is black hole.
Yeah, she's a living black hole.
It's terrifying.
Which I don't understand how she can, even with the spacesuit, control that. Unless it's just theming and she can control her quirk. But that doesn't seem like something that's very easily controlled.
Is it confirmed that she's actually like a living black hole, or is
nobody
she just
knows.
Like a person that can make black holes?
They've never seen her out of her suit.
Oh.
And she says that if she got out of her suit, it'd be dangerous. So I don't know what she can like. Nobody knows what she looks like.
But she can pretty much like do what a black hole does, just suck up all matter and then just disintegrate it, essentially. Like,
well, and that's the other thing. Oh, well, this is kind of jumping ahead just slightly, but it's still part of their fight kind of deal.
It's kind of all happening concurrently. So like, yeah, as we jump around, like, don't think we're like jumping to just different parts of different episodes. Like, all this is pretty much happening like at the same time.
Yeah. So it's covering four episodes, but it's all within like 10 minutes of the whole situation. It's the reverse Dragon Ball Z. The 10 minutes takes like 4 hours.
Right. It's not 5 minutes equals 50 episodes for Namek to explode.
Yeah. So in order to counter 13, Kuragiri makes a portal in front of him and puts it behind 13, which starts ripping apart her suit. There's nothing inside the suit.
So you don't that's see, why yeah, you don't see anything.
You don't see anything. Like the entire backside, like the entire top of the helmet down to like the bottom of her legs is ripped off from the back. And there's nothing inside there. So that's why I'm always thinking that maybe she is like a robot or like a being, may not be from Earth or something. Which is why she has a spacesuit on. But shit's getting intense because they just watched a pro hero basically eat shit because they used their power against her.
Yeah, she's basically like pretty much knocked out of commission.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, they're trying to get Ida's trying to escape because he's the fastest one out of all of them who's trying to book out of there and try to inform the student or the teachers, the pro heroes that are on campus, what's going on at the USJ.
Right. He was told by 13 to go and get help, essentially, mm-hmm. before she got injured. And he was having a really hard time with that because he wanted to stay and help his classmates. But they were told him, like, hey, like, you're the fastest. You're the only one that could possibly get out of here, because there was something about one of the villains that showed up there. They figured out that one of the villains that showed up was like blocking their communication, so they couldn't call for help outside. Essentially, was I think what was happening.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's another fight that happens later on.
Yeah. So, yeah, number 13 was just like, Edie, you're the class rep. Like, you have to, you're the one that can get to the teacher soon enough. Like, you have to go. And he was struggling with that. He's like, well, but I should stay and help you guys. But, like, eventually he does decide to go.
You know, which he just barely makes it by the skin of his teeth because he has to slide underneath the freaking fog wall.
Yeah, it pretty much takes everybody else holding off Kuragiri for him to get by so that he can get out and escape.
Yep.
Yeah, so
what group are we jumping to next?
Right, so pretty much while this happens, like we said, Kuragiri pretty much like splits everybody up. While this is happening, Shota Aizawa, Eraserhead, does a badass jump down the stairs with his glasses on and just starts making fools look like idiots, just starts wrecking people.
Okay, so that fight is probably one of my favorite scenes just for one reason. He's nullifying each person's quirk as he's wrapping them up in his tape and kicking them, doing whatever he has to do to knock them out. One of the guys that pulls up is a mutation quirk, so it changed his body to be more powerful and so on and so forth. So it actually changed him physically in the genes, So it's not something that he can use. It's just something that he's naturally has. And he makes a comment how he may be able to, or Eraserhead may be able to cancel out quirks, but he can't cancel out something like mutagenics, because it's something that's natural, not something that is like a quirk that's just passed on kind of deal. It's like an evolution of his body as it is, which is true. He cannot block that quirk. And at the same moment that the guy tells him this, he wraps him up in the face with a bandage and kicks the shit out of him. He goes, I don't need to block your quirk. And he just wallops him within seconds.
Punches him right in the face. Essentially, it's like some, yeah, it's like a big rock dude or something like that.
Yeah.
And just doesn't give zero fucks. Punches him right in the face. It's such awesome moments.
And so they start making comments about how Eraserhead is not made for group battle. He's not a flashy hero. He doesn't do anything to do more than he's capable of, because he's just a guy who can look at people and take their power away. So he still has
pretty much just capture them.
Yeah, he still has to be like physically fit. He has normal limitations. He has nothing that's like working in his benefit in group fights. So he is just flipping all around, roundhouse kicking people, punching people, wrapping them up, throwing them into other dudes. I think there was one time he wrapped two people up in the tape and then hit them together.
Classic move.
Classic superhero move. And in the same moment, he's knocking down, like he's taking down, I think, more than half of the villains that have come through the front gate. And there's just a crash and a giant thing of smoke. And the big bird man had intervened. And it's not looking good.
Who we're told that his name is Nomu.
Yes,
is Nomu. That's what Shigaraki, who is the man who has the hands all over him.
The man with the hands and the plans.
Yes. And it's funny, I liked how you brought that up too, because before Eraserhead kind of jumps into the fray, like Deku pretty much tells him the same exact thing. He's like, your power is not good for big group fights. He's like, you're stealthy, you're good at one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And Eraserhead puts on the glasses and is like, all right, kid. He's like, you can't be a pro if you only got one trick, and then just proceeds to jump down the stairs. And I'm like, that's badass. And if I was a racer too, I'd be like, what the fuck is this kid like telling me like how to do my job? Like I know what I'm doing. Like I've done this before.
I teach while living in a sleeping bag. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Right. Yeah, right. And so Nomu steps up to like challenge Eraserhead. And this is kind of like where we start to split off and see like what the different groups of kids are doing. So,
yes. Of course, Kirishima, Bakugo, and
it's just them.
Is it just them?
Yes.
Okay. Because Todoroki is on his own.
Yeah. I made sure to note like while I was watching the episodes, like kind of who was together, because I figured that would be important. So.
Oh, wait. No. Todoroki is not on his own.
Right. He's not.
He's with what's her name?
Higakure.
Yes.
The Invisible Girl.
This is jumping ahead a little bit. But he makes a comment. He goes, oh, wait, she was there the entire time. I never knew.
Right. So spoiler alert, Todoroki, who is the same gentleman that froze the entire building during the training exercise, mm-hmm. didn't have any problems. Because obviously, you know, he's been trained. He was one of two students that got in our recommendation. So he just like freezes everybody once he like, goes to wherever he goes. Mm-hmm. And Higakure, who's invisible, he didn't know she was there. So he was like, oh, fuck, I could have frozen her, too. So. Todoroki's on his own. I think let me pull up the list here because I forget everybody's names. Ojiro, man with the tail, he gets separated on his own, I believe.
I thought he was with what's his name? The man with the guy that can split his appendages there and like.
No, Shoji got left at the entrance with.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah, with Sero, Sato, like those guys. Sue, Deku, and Mineta got transported to the shipwreck zone. Tokoyami and Koda got sent to like the storm zone. And then Ojiro is in the fire zone. And then I think everybody else, oh, Kaminari, Jiro, and Yayorozu got sent to the, I think it's like the rock zone, or like the landslide zone or something like that.
I would like to say that Ojiro was technically just being Batman in the fire zone.
I mean, his
he was hanging from streetlights and knocking people out with headbutts.
His quirk is hilarious, but he do knows how to fight. He was taking dudes out.
His quirk is not like a flashy quirk. It's not like anything that anyone's going to brag about as a quirk. He has a tail. Like, he practically is like normal in terms of quirks, but his fighting, like his martial arts, he's just like, fuck it, I'll throw hands, I don't give a damn.
Right. So one of the things that I like about this is that obviously the League of Villains, as that's what they were calling themselves, League of Villains, they had this whole attack planned out, and they recognized that even though these are just kids, these are students, like, they could still potentially be dangerous depending on what powers they have. Mm-hmm. So they made the move to like split them up, like that was a plan all along, and like have people in place to take care of them. Mm-hmm. And throughout all this, they kind of, Midoriya pieces everything together, and he's like, oh, well, the day when the press got on campus, which is when Ida took charge and he became class rep, that was, we covered that in the last episode, was when the League of Villains was able to like sneak on campus and like figure out when they'd be training and when, where All Might would be, because they said now a few times, and we haven't said it yet, but their purpose is to kill All Might, and they thought All Might would be here at this training session, but he's not, because he spent too much time doing hero work.
Yep. And at this time you find out that his time limit in his hero form has been dropped significantly. I think it's 3 hours.
Yeah, it's 3 hours, because
3 hours.
Deku said he knew what was going on and nobody else did, because at the start of training, 13 and as Aizawa were talking, and he was like, oh, All Might typically late. And 13 was like, oh, he's not going to make it. And she held up three fingers. And that's mm-hmm. that's how Deku knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so they're basically here to kill All Might. They had a good plan to split up the kids, because obviously, yeah, some of these kids are real powerhouses. The thing that blows my mind, though, is like, if you're worried enough about the kids to consider them a threat, like, they don't really offer the same respect to like Aizawa and 13, who are like pro heroes, and they just kind of like don't really have a plan of how to deal with the two most like dangerous people, other than just like overwhelm them with sheer numbers.
Right.
So kind of a good plan, kind of not such a good plan. It's got good elements to it, but not really executed.
Anytime Shigaraki talks, it's all in video game aspects,
which is super cool. I like that.
It is. It's just, you can tell that he's not mentally there when it comes to planning, because he thinks that everything's going to go his way, just like a video game. He thinks that everything's just going to go, whatever he does, it's just going to fall into line.
Or that he has enough control over it to where it will, yeah, eventually break
yeah.
his way.
Right. So we find out, back to the Eraserhead fight, that he is getting beaten pretty bad.
Oh,
very, very
right,
bad.
Right, by Nomu, yeah.
Nomu. But he decides to change tactics and actually go after Shigaraki. We find out that Shigaraki's quirk is a little bit scary.
Terrifying.
So he has the quirk of decay, which if he touched you with his hands, not the ones that are on his body, just his own personal hands, anything he touches with the full hand, like five fingers, everything, you will start to disintegrate and decay into dust. Which he does to Eraserhead's elbow as he tried to elbow him in the face.
Yeah, grabs him by the elbow, dude.
Grabs him by the elbow, and as you see him grab his elbow, like, his skin starts peeling away. You see the muscle and the tendons and everything underneath.
And yeah, the skin just like cracks away, almost like how, yeah. you know, on a dry day when you look at mud and it's like all cracked on the ground, like mm-hmm. that. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
I look at that injury and I like see like just the exposed back of his elbow, and like I could feel that, like that burns, like that just is like that would hurt so bad.
Yeah. So he realizes that the shit's going on, and he's pretty much hit his limit on using his quirk because he can only use it so much until Eraserhead can only use his quirk so much until his eyes dry out. Because once he blinks, he can't use his quirk. It basically turns off and he has to restart it again. I don't exactly know the time limit, but there is like a certain like gap in between when he blinks and when he can use it again.
I didn't pay attention to it, but as he was charging Shigaraki, and when Shigaraki caught his elbow, he was telling him, he was like, oh, like at first it was 23 seconds, then it was 22 seconds, then it was 17 seconds. And he was like, you know, Shigaraki's maybe like a spoiled bratty kind of kid with his video game references, but he's smart enough to like note that the time between when Eraserhead can use his quirk is like less and less as the fight goes on. And he also figured out, he's like, oh, I know what your tell is too. Whenever you use your power, your hair like all sticks up, which it does. And that's how he kind of figured out and was able to catch Eraserhead and like basically, yeah, fuck up his arm.
Right, exactly.
And it was at this point, I think, too, that like Nomu then jumped in the fight and just pretty much just like bitch slaps him across the face. And there's like a splatter of blood and just like pretty much like knocks him out of commission. Like that's it. He's done.
And that's when it jump cuts to like Deku and his group on what's going on their side, because they're in the shipwreck area.
Yeah, it's Sue and Mineta. Yeah. Yeah.
Mineta's useless, but Sue is
it's got
okay.
Purple balls, man.
Yeah, that's all he's got. And I love that they're trying to explain their quirks, where Sue's like, I'm a frog, I can do whatever a frog can do. Really? Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And Deku's like, I could use my quirk, but I would hurt myself in the process of using it. And then it's like, I got balls. And he takes one off, he sticks it to the wall. He goes, it sticks to stuff, just not me.
And
he goes into an anxiety attack because he thinks they're judging him on his quirk.
Because there's just like a frame where Sue and Deku just stare at him for like 5 seconds and don't say anything. Yeah. And so, yeah, pretty much they get to the shipwreck stage, like, and they figure out that, oh, all the people at the shipwreck place are water based quirk users because they're all in the water. They're on the ship. Mm-hmm. And Sue makes a comment. She's like, well, they didn't obviously plan this out very well. They don't know what our quirks are because they wouldn't have sent me to the water place. They would have sent me to like the fire zone or whatever.
Right. Exactly.
So they hatch, actually, considering like what strengths they have, a pretty brilliant plan to escape. If you ask me, I thought it was really cool.
Mind you, Mineta's against it because he's a coward. He's the coward, like comedic relief of the group. But he's more annoying than he is funny,
which to me as a, okay, I understand that that is the role he fills on the show, right? But I tried to inject a little bit of realism on it. It's like, how did this person get into this school where the acceptance rate is less than 1% being like this? Like, I don't get it.
Listen, okay, they bypassed my this is jumping ahead a little bit of like a season, but I need to put this out there. Mineta made it into the hero course with no problems at all. He did well against the robots, I guess, because he was able to make it through the robot course.
I guess.
But they passed up my boy from season 2 that can take control of your mind.
Oh,
and told him that
Shinzo. Yeah, Shinzo.
Yeah, yeah. They said he wasn't good enough for the hero course.
Right. That's. Yeah, see, the school has some selection issues, I think. it's just really questionable.
Kid that can control your mind or kid that can throw balls? Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe Mineta was like a charity case and he was just like, he had to be there.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe just the group of people that he tested with wasn't that good. Maybe they just sucked at the test. So
he got teamed up with the kid with the stretchy eyeballs
and
the extendo fingers.
from the first episode.
Yep.
That's my favorite characters. I hope they show up later. So basically the plan that they come up with to escape, one of the guys that can control water and like slices the ship, and the ship is sinking now. So the plan they come up with to escape is actually pretty ingenious. So Deku because he does Deku things, just decides to jump off the side of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
While he's falling down towards the water, he's explaining in his head what he's doing. So he decides to aim a smash at the water with using just his thumb and his middle finger so he doesn't break his entire arm. And the shockwave will displace the water. He says, when force is applied to water, the spot where the force is applied, it spreads the water out, but then it comes rushing back.
Like, the kid has so much more genius to him than a fucking, like, hero nerd.
Yeah.
The thing is, they don't show him having good grades in school. But when he does shit like this, it's like, how do you not have, like, a science, like, diploma already? Like, you already know displacement and, like, causing effect with weather changes and all this other shit.
Right. And so basically what that does is, yeah, it pushes all the water away. And mm-hmm. then all the water comes rushing back to the middle, pulling all the guys with it. And what happens is Sue jumps off the boat carrying Mineta, grabs Deku with her tongue, and then Mineta throws the sticky balls into the water, which also get dragged into the middle. And then all the bad guys are just now stuck together.
Yep.
Which is a pretty clever way to get out of that situation.
Yep. And Sue is calm as could be. I don't think I've seen Sue like freak out at all in that first part. Like, she was worried about the villains that showed up, but other than that, she was just like, we just gotta take care of it. It's okay. We'll get through.
Sue gets nervous, but she's always seems to be like at least calm enough to like function. Unlike, she's like the polar opposite of Mineta, who's just like freaks out.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So that happens. They don't really devote too much other time to, like, they just show kind of the other classmates. Yep. Kind of cleaning up all the bad guys. They devote a quick second to Todoroki, and I just want to talk about it for a quick second, because he basically has all the guys frozen and he's trying to figure out what's going on, because they, you know, they don't all know they're there to kill All Might. So he's trying to figure out what's going on, and he pretty much he freezes like all the dudes that are there and like walks up to one of them and he's like, listen, like, I want to be a hero. I don't want to kill you guys, but if I don't unfreeze you soon, like, your body will start to shut down, your blood will start to freeze, and just like a stone cold motherfucker, just calm as can be, says it to him, and like holds up his hand and like threatens to freeze this dude in the face. And that's kind of how he figures out what's going on. And that was like the first moment I was like, oh, I like him. He's
meanwhile in the combat zone, Bakugo and Kirishima are just cleaning house.
Yeah, so much so that. And this shows off the immense skill of Bakugo that he has, too. There's like a chameleon guy that tries to sneak up behind him, and he doesn't even care. Like, he grabs by the head and just blows him up and then slams him on the ground without even like he doesn't even interrupt his conversation that he's having with Kirishima. Well, he does it.
No, this is how they become best bros. Like, this is how you become bros. You fight with them. You fight with your bro, you become a bro.
Exactly.
And the only other major fight I think that's happening at this time is the Jiro, Momo, and
Kaminari
fight, because they find out where the jammer is, the one that's causing the interruption in their communications, and come to find out that it's another character or another quirk user that's similar to Kaminari, because Kaminari's ability is to displace electricity. He's basically a human battery.
Yeah.
You find out there's another guy that's similar to him that absorbs electricity. And when he absorbs it, he can kind of redirect it. So during this whole time, nothing's really working because Kaminari's gotten his ass beat. Oh, no, he didn't get his ass beat. What happened was they were trying to stop the people that were ganging up on them. So Momo created a electricity proof blanket, covered her and Jiro up, and told Kaminari to let loose. So he sent out his million volts at everybody, making him stupid. Yeah,
which makes him stupid.
Because it drains all of the electricity from his system. His downside of his quirk is that if he drains too much electricity, it basically makes a drawback. So it takes everything out of the system, from his nervous system and everything. So when he looks stupid, it's because of the fact that his electrodes in his brain are basically gone.
Right. And like, you can't do anything. Like, all of the muscles in his face are probably like not functioning. So,
yes. So he's stuck with his thumbs up and his little
just the best looking face that's probably ever been drawn in anime, hands down.
Yep.
And exactly. Before that happens, though, he he was pretty much telling Jiro and Momo that he's like, oh, I can't do this because I'll shock you guys. So you guys have to get us out of this. And what happens is he like is using his electricity a little bit, and then Jiro shoves him forward and he starts electrocuting a guy.
And then turns him into a stun gun.
Yeah. And then Momo like gets a guy in a net and like throws that guy into him. And it's like they end up like electrocuting four or five dudes. But then, yeah, like you said, Momo makes the blanket and then shocks everybody except the one guy who's jamming the signal because he's electric too.
Yep.
That gets resolved a little bit later because at about this time, like Deku, Sue, and Mineta have gotten over to where Aizawa is. Shigaraki kind of noticed them. They've kind of gotten mixed in with everything. Like Shigaraki's like literally about to grab Deku by the face, I think, and disintegrate him.
Oh, before that, they see what happened to Eraserhead.
Oh yeah, he's fucked up.
Nomu is holding his head in his hand. And he's just got blood everywhere and he gets smashed in the ground and he tries to get up to fight back. And Nomu just starts unloading on his head.
I think
like he just punching him on repeat.
I think he breaks his arms too. I think he just like snaps his arms backwards. This is like, dude, he's getting annihilated.
Yep. He is to the point where they don't even show the character of how gruesome apparently the situation is. Cause Japan has very strict, which is weird with a lot of other anime they do, but because of the rating they have on this anime, they don't show what happened to Eraserhead. They just show like side shots, like the blood shooting out and like you hear the sound and whatnot. But it gets to the point where you see like Nomu just punching nonstop and it's just like gurgling and like blood everywhere at this point.
Yeah, it's rough. It's not easy to watch sometimes.
I think later on they say that he had to do something with his eyes, like
all the orbital, like the bones in his orbital lobes or something like that, were like all like shattered, like his face bones essentially.
Yes, so his face was caved in essentially.
Yeah, it's rough, and that's kind of like when Deku and all and Sue and Mineta show up, and this is all kind of happening at once. Like, I think Deku tries to save him by doing a full smash. This is important, actually. Yeah. He tries to save him doing a full smash.
And yes, because he tried to grab Sue at this time.
Yes, he did try to grab Sue, but I was thinking of a different time because he tries to grab multiple people in this fight like three or four times.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So he tries to grab him. Yeah, he tries to do a full powered smash to stop him because he's in his head. He's like, okay, you have to treat this like an egg in a microwave. If you use too much power, it's going to explode. If you use too little power, it's not going to do jack shit. So I got to find the medium. And at this time, he powers it up and goes full force into it. And he thinks it worked because nothing's broken. But the reason nothing worked is because Nomu was there. And Nomu took the punch. And nothing happened to Nomu.
Which is, I think, when Shigaraki tells us that his...
Not yet?
Okay.
Not yet. It's when All Might shows up.
Oh, you're right. Which, it's pretty much at about this time that he does show up, I believe.
With a suit and tie, not smiling.
That's important to note, because that's... like it seems like a throwaway comment at first, but... when Deku's in the earlier episodes is describing like why he loves All Might so much, it's always like he saves people with a smile on his face and like he's always smiling in the face of danger and this and that. And so he shows up and Deku's like, oh, fuck, he's not smiling, which means that he is pissed. He is pissed.
his anger face is scary. Like, it's like the look of All Might's face is very shadowed because obviously like the hidden situation that he's going through.
Right.
Damage and everything like that. So when he's smiling, he has like the shadowed eyes that you can't really see a pupil or anything in, but he's usually pretty like a priest, like upstanding, like justice, kind of like happy-go-lucky guy,
right?
But he walks in, he has just a white dress shirt on and he's loosening his tie, but as he's loosening it, he rips the tie off. And his angry face is just like his teeth look like they're gonna break.
It's
like he's gritting his teeth to the point where it looks like they're going to shatter.
It's so jarring because up until this point, this is like, I think this is the 12th episode. So 11 episodes, I think pretty much we've seen All Might smiling pretty much all the time. Eric, we've never seen him in a state of like just like this pissed off, where like it's just like he probably wasn't smiling during like the training exercise when he was nervous about Deku and Bakugo fighting. Like, he had a nervous look on his face, but this is like he is pissed. We've never seen him like this, and everyone's just like, oh, that's not good. And he proceeds to like, he's like, don't worry, students, I'm here. Like, this is the typical intro he does. And he flies down the stairs, but like in the blink of an eye, punches Shigaraki, punches Nomu, saves Aizawa, and saves Deku and Mineta and Sue, like all in the blink of an eye. And everyone's just like, whoa, like what the fuck? Like, he's fast.
Yep. Now, it's at this time that he goes to punch Nomu, and he realized, he punched Nomu across, but it didn't do anything.
He didn't punch him. He used his Carolina smash, which is like his cross chop kind of smash that he does. Right.
Yep. That's it.
Which is like, I was like, I don't know what the advantage of that one is over a punch, but yeah, sure. I like it. It's flashy. Yep.
It's flashy. And this is when he goes to actually fight. He actually's going to fight Nomu, because this is the guy that's like, okay, he fucked up Aizawa. He didn't take any damage from my one hit, so I need to actually focus on this guy solo. And is it... Oh, I'm trying to remember like the way that it progresses, because there's a moment where other people jump into the fight. Oh, crap, I can't remember now.
I think I know what you're talking about. So,
oh no, okay. So he goes up to Nomu, and they start brawling it out, and they're both like heavy hitters, like you feel the force of the punches and everything. And Shigaraki lets it slip that Nomu's ability is
shock absorption.
Shock absorption. Yep, that's what it is.
Right.
So basically any physical blow that he takes, it doesn't really do much. He just takes it and it goes back
right
at the person. So his idea, All Might's idea to counter this, he goes, oh, you said his name is his power is shock absorption. So what if I just detain him? And his idea of detainment is to German suplex him into the ground.
Suplexes him so hard it creates an explosion.
But you end up finding out that it doesn't work, because Kurigiri is now back.
This is where Kurigiri makes his move, right here.
Yes. And he made a portal, so he literally went into the portal and out of another portal, which was right next to All Might.
You almost have to pause the scene and look at it, because there's multiple limbs, bodies, appendages, people sticking out through multiple portals. Mm-hmm. It's like Nomu is halfway sticking out of a portal in the ground, and he's got like his claws into All Might's side where his big injury is.
Yep.
And All Might's like half kind of in the portal being held by Nomu. And you have to pause and look at it. It's a weird collection of bodies, which is amazingly animated, by the way. That would be probably really hard to animate.
Yeah. So they're kind of stuck in this situation, because All Might can't make a move because he literally is being grabbed at like the worst possible area on him.
Right.
And Nomu can't move because All Might's not letting go. So at this time, Kurigiri gets the idea that he's just going to start closing the portals and cut All Might in half.
And it shows like a flash forward of what that would look like. It's just, he basically just shoots out of the portal with his torso, and his arms are gone. It's just like, oh God.
Yep.
It's super gruesome.
So it's at this moment that our let's just call them Team Aggressive shows up. And in order to stop Kurigiri, Bakugo flies and grabs the metal plate on his whatever that is, that metal plate that's holding him together.
It's like a neck thing. I don't even know what it's called. Like, yeah, it's like a neck almost. Brace almost. Yeah.
He goes, and he makes a comment about it. He goes, if I destroy this, it's probably going to be very bad for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he already knows. Like, he goes, this is the only thing that was still there when you were using your abilities. Everything else disappeared except for this one metal piece.
And this is kind of cool too, because it kind of subtly shows that, yes, like Bakugo has been kind of a one-dimensional character, and like, he's just very aggressive. But it only took him messing up attacking Kurogiri one time for him to figure out like where to target him. And it was like, we missed because the smoky black stuff isn't your body. Like, you just surround it. Like, your body is like kind of based around where the neck brace is. Figured it out. Like, after one encounter with him.
Yep. And then the Nomu's legs are frozen by Todoroku, who just shows up and says like, hey, I'm going to freeze shit.
Yeah, just absolutely freezes him. And that kind of creates an opening for All Might to escape. Which followed by a scene where Nomu pulls himself out of the portal, like rips off half of his body because it's frozen, and then just proceeds to regrow it.
Yep, exactly.
And that's when Shigaraki's like, oh, he has another quirk too. It's a, or he can like regen. He has regeneration essentially too.
Yeah, you basically find out that Nomu is not normal.
A person. Well, it, I guess maybe technically that comes down the line, we learn, but technically not a normal person.
With a people full of quirks, he's not normal to them.
No.
So that's telling you something.
Yeah.
So All Might is just like, okay, fuck it. You know what? We're going to do this now.
Just going all out. Like, let's go.
We're going to go all out.
And
oh, wait, no. This is that time where Deku jumps in, because everyone else had jumped in at that time. Deku jumps in to go after Nomu to help All Might.
I think just before Todoroki got to him. Yeah, he jumped forward and broke his legs.
Because Kurogiri put up a portal and because at that time,
this just added to the confusion because, he jumps forward, breaks his legs, but instead of getting to All Might, Kurogiri puts up a portal that Shigaraki reaches through, and Deku's about to get fucking like palmed in the face, I think, right?
Yeah, I think Kirishima helps him at that point.
Yeah.
Because that's when everybody starts showing up.
A lot of things happen like all at the same time, essentially, so it's just kind of confusing.
People are breaking limbs when they shouldn't be breaking limbs.
But like you said, then this occurs, All Might's free, and then he's just like, all right, time to throw down. And this is where
you said the shock absorption is his quirk, so I just need to punch him more than he can deal back.
Yeah,
it's basically what he says.
So this scene is my favorite scene, or this sequence is my favorite sequence in the entire series. It's so good, because this is the scene that originally like hooked me on the show. He says. And I think it's Christopher Sabat, right? That voices All Might, plays it perfectly. He tells him, he's like, he said your power is shock absorption, not nullification. So there's a limit to how much you can take. So I'm just going to literally punch you till you can't take anymore.
Yep.
And just then the music starts swelling and here it comes. You Say Run starts playing and it just gets your blood fucking pumping, because we're like, all right, we're going. And then what it is pretty much just like you see Nomu and All Might just punching each other literally as fast as they can. It's just like it's a storm of fists. To
the
point where
the fists are hitting in such a frequency that the lights around them are exploding. And it's all just from the force. And you end up seeing All Might just start speeding up. To the point where he's just like wailing into him. He goes, well, how does 300 punches sound?
Yeah, he says, he's like, if you can handle me firing at 100% of my power, I'll just have to go beyond and force you to surrender. It's like, well, and this is the one thing that I love and about anime. It's like, if you're already firing at 100% of your power, it's like because the big thing in anime is like breaking your limits and going beyond. Right. It's like you're literally already doing all you can possibly do. And he's like, nope, there's more I can go. So I'm just going to go even further. And it's like, what? It's insane.
Yep.
I love it, though. It's great.
He is just wailing into him and Nomu's basically just lost footing because he's just getting gut wrenched the entire time.
He can't keep up. He can't
keep up with it. And you see him like falling back, and then that's the moment where you get to see the first like 100% punch kind of it's not like the 100% punch you saw in the beginning. It's a slime monster. It's the first like
this is the okay one for all 100% punch.
Yeah, you see the stars start aligning.
Yes, and then he reaches up and grabs it.
Oh no, like yeah, well that too, but like when he pulls back, his hands just start steaming. Which I don't understand what that is.
It's
like he grabs the star and he pulls back the punch, but his hand is just like, like, what is that? And he just unloads one. And it's like a shot for shot of him like pulling the punch in. And there's like a split second where everything just pauses. And then Nomu shoots through the USJ roof. Well, actually hits the ceiling first. And then everything around him like craters and explodes. He goes through the roof and is just gone.
I love this scene so much. It's so cool because it's like 20 seconds for this punch to go off. Like this one punch. And you're right. He punches him and like everything stops for a second. And then you see like the punch like go into Nomu and it like spreads out. And like there's like a red flash and you're just like, oh, well, this is going to work. And then it's slow, full speed. And Nomu just goes fucking rocketing off the screen like within a frame, within a frame of it happening. Yep. And it's, yeah, like I said, he hits the ceiling and goes through it. And then he's going so fast that then the shockwave goes through the ceiling after he's already passed through it.
Yep.
And All Might pretty much just team rocketed Nomu out into space, or not into space, but into the sky where the little twinkle happens. Like, you know, in Team Rocket, like he's blasting off again, never like to be launched far away. Tom, I gotta gush for a second. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're fine.
This scene, like I said, this is the scene that got me into the show. There are certain scenes that you just know in anime that are like just like iconic scenes, right?
Yep.
Goku going Super Saiyan for the first time. Like this is like one of the iconic scenes of this show. It's just, it's because we've constantly hear it's like All Might's the strongest, best, most powerful, and it's just like this is him showing it. Like it's so
now,
it's,
you've seen like how badass Aizawa was taking out all those people that were going after him, and that's like him at a disadvantage in the situation. And just to see the one person who Aizawa could not beat get wrecked in a matter of like it's maybe like a 2 to 3 minute fight.
Yeah.
But like 50 seconds in their time.
Get bodied. Absolutely bodied.
Yeah.
it's yeah, I can't. It's one of the reasons why I love the show so much. It's just,
and this is where we get like a plot, a very heavy plot situation.
Yes.
Shigaraki's still sitting on the side. He's watching from a distance.
He's just like, what just happened?
And he is acting like the spoiled kid, doing his creepy like ripping off his own skin at his neck thing.
It's a nervous tick. Yeah, he like rips at his neck. It's really weird.
Yeah. He makes a comment. He goes, he told me that he was weaker, that he had lost his power, but he hasn't lost anything at all. So this is where you find out there's somebody behind Shigaraki giving him information, telling him that you can be All Might because he's actually weaker than what he used to be. Which he goes, you were supposed to be weaker. And All Might's like, you're right. Back in my heyday, it would only take 100 of these punches to send that man.
No, he says five. He says five. Oh, five. Yeah.
Was it five?
It was five. And he's like, I had to punch this guy 300 times. Like when I was younger, it would have been five times. Five times. Insane.
Yep.
Yeah, like you said. And then pretty much from here is kind of where things like start to mop up for the season, right? The pro heroes show up. And how you know the pro heroes show up.
Shigaraki gets shot.
Four times. Fucking dude. I love Sniper. I love
Sniper.
Sniper
is a fucking animal.
I love him so much. I don't know like what, whenever they are making the heroes, they're like, all right, let's just have a guy whose quirk is gun. And he just shoots really good. He shoots multiple people. He lights up Shigaraki. Yep. He lights up multiple people from like miles away across the thing.
While wearing a gas mask. Like that's his like deterrence. He's just like wearing a gas mask.
And then
a cowboy hat.
My other favorite part of the scene too is when the pro heroes show up is like the lesser guys that Aizawa was beating up, like start to get up and they're like, all right, like let's fight. We can take these guys. And present Mike just casually walks forward like four or five steps and then just screams because his quirk is voice or whatever. And just screams down the stairway and just fucking blows everybody away.
So I'm very upset. There's one thing about this scene that upsets me, actually, that Snipe is not voiced by Matthew Mercer.
Yeah,
I feel like they missed a key opportunity right there that McCree is not voicing Snipe.
And it's like a lot of the teachers didn't even do anything. Like you see Snipe, you see Present Mike, and you see Ectoplasm
Midnight.
And
midnight. Midnight also too, yeah. Puts them to sleep. Yeah.
And
I just find it funny that on ectoplasm is the principal Nezu is just sitting there. And I'm like, what is he going to do?
I love Principal Nezu so much. And there was a scene with him earlier when they were in the teacher's lounge with All Might. And he's like, because he comes in and pretty much scolds All Might for wasting his power. And he's like, I don't know if I'm a bear or a dog or a ferret, but the most important thing is I'm the principal. And you're just like, what? What the hell is going on here?
Listen, you, if you're an animal character in anime, games, anything like that, and you have a badass scar on your face, doesn't matter how goofy you are, you're the most feared character in this whole show.
Right. So pretty much just cleaned up. One of the most important things that happens is All Might hit his time limit. And just before he reverts this, for anyone to see him, Cementos comes in and just like makes a wall. And it's like, no, like stay away from All Might. Like, we'll take care of from here. Yep. Like, go back to
his Kirishima.
Is running forward. Yeah. God damn it. Kirishima. Yeah.
Because he's worried about Deku because Deku broke his legs, he broke his arm.
Kirishima's best bro, hands down.
Kirishima's just like, hey, you okay? Like, we need to get the help over here. And he's like running over. He goes, oh, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And I'm like, see, this is why this is best bro.
Exactly.
He doesn't give a fuck about what's going on. He's just like, I gotta help my bros.
Exactly.
That's all I gotta do. So Cementos blocks off the path. Everything's not seen, and it's an interesting image to see All Might losing his power in a way that's not like his smoke screen turned into thin All Might, because half his face is his like his usual All Might face with the hair up and everything. The other side is like his hair is falling and his face looks all like almost like corpse-ish. It's like there's no teeth, nothing showing. It's just like down.
It's very jarring.
Everything. Yeah. And he's just kind of like there standing in like a shirt that's like bleeding through. His tie's on the ground. His good work pants are ruined.
Terrible. I think we're just about at the time limit. So I'm going to wrap up. Yeah. I'm going to wrap everything up here. So pretty much the last episode is this kind of ties into the last episode. They all go outside. This is where we're introduced to Sugoichi. He's like the detective on the force. Who's like best friends with All Might. And then we kind of leave season one with some lingering questions here that are like, how did the League of Villains plan this? I think there's mentions, or maybe this is touched on in season two at the start of season two, that maybe there's a traitor among them that might be start of season two. The class is kind of reflecting on like their first big villain confrontation. And this is pretty much where season one ends. And there's actually a little spot where they, you see Shigaraki and Kurogiri get back to like the bar where they're hiding out, and Kurogiri just pretty much drops Shigaraki on the floor, and he's just bleeding from everywhere that Snipe shot him. Like, dude got shot like 8-9 times, like got lit up.
Yeah.
And
well, because Snipe's whole thing is that he can redirect the bullets wherever the hell he needs to. And so that bullet probably went like different areas.
Intense. And this is too where we kind of see the TV. There's a mysterious voice from the TV talking to him too about like how the situation went, that it wasn't a complete failure, upset that they lost Nomu, but, and you're kind of like, okay, well, there's more shadowy figures pulling the strings here, obviously. Mm-hmm. So there's,
yeah, because he has the TV screen up that's telling him like what's going on. Like, no, he is weaker. Like, he's getting much weaker than what he was.
Right. We learned a lot from this fight, is pretty much what they said.
Mm-hmm.
And
also big shout out to for the Sukachi, Detective Sukachi, voiced by Alejandro Saab or Kagi Films on YouTube, because he's a hilarious dude.
Oh, wow.
And very like very fun to watch.
I did not know that.
Yes.
And so we conclude season one, and maybe what we should do is we should have like a season one like wrap up episode where we can like talk about like all the themes and stuff, because like I said, we had a time limit on this finale episode here, but that's fine. We conclude season one with like a sense of cautious optimism. Like, you know, there's a growing threat in the background, but everyone's moving forward, having survived for the most part. And that's kind of where we leave season one.
Right.
So, yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think that's good. Other than everyone's now like... You see the people who were, they were friendly to each other, but they're more like closer now. The people in like class 1A after going through this, like the fact that like the scene where Ida shows up with all the teachers is fucking badass. He just comes sliding in and he's just like, I got everybody.
And everyone's lined up there and you're just like, oh, it's going down.
He's got like a fucking superhero like pose. Like he's just knelt down, just like, okay, I've returned.
Yeah, it's awesome.
No, I just feel like everyone has like, even the people like Bakugo's even being a little bit closer to Deku. He's not as shitty at him as he usually is. Mm-hmm. Still, just still pretty shitty, but
slightly less
because Kirishima is there to break the blows.
Right. And it would make more sense because, yeah, once you go through something as traumatic as this as a group, you know, that's only going to bring them all closer together, mm-hmm. obviously. So, yeah. Season one, great first season. I love it. It's not definitely not the best season. There are later seasons that are absolutely incredible. But
this is a good way to get people into the
anime. Oh, absolutely.
Like, it shows you like the starting line. And if that starting line is as hype as this show is, then you have nothing to worry about.
And so, like I said, the first season's only 12 episodes and they expand later seasons, or 13. But they give you, like I said, they introduce you to enough, but they don't give you enough information that so you want to keep coming back and learning more. Like, and they do a really good job of that throughout the show of like giving you a little more information, a little more information, a little more information, and like slowly spreading out the story instead of just like dropping it all in big plot points like throughout. It's like,
right,
because the class is like growing together essentially. So season one.
Great.
Season one. So the next episode we will definitely be starting season two. I love the start of season two. It's great. I believe
season two is where things like pick up like crazy.
Yeah. Isn't the start of season two the sports festival, if I'm
correct? It is, and it has the best opening out of My Hero Academia openings. I will never skip that opening.
I like the,
as soon as I hear the
yeah, that one's really good.
I'm like, oh, here we go.
I like the, I think it's the season four, the part two of season four opening. Mm-hmm. I think I like that. Lenny Code Fiction, I believe it's by Make My Story. I like that one a lot.
Oh,
that,
yep, one's really, yep, good too. Okay.
So yeah, Tom, where can the people find you at?
You can find me at Red Rival 26 at Twitter. You can find me at twitch.tv/RedRival26 on there. I also have a TikTok where I do card openings, yes, and probably do some stupid sticks here and there, depending on if I can get over my anxiety of recording those live. And that's pretty much it.
I am on Twitter at The One True Sire. We also have a Twitter for the podcast, which I believe is just at Pod Side Quest. I'll memorize it one of these days here. We are on Instagram at The Side Questing Podcast, and you can email us at sidequestingpodcast@gmail.com if you'd like to yell at us. I'm still waiting for people to yell at us. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll happen one day. So
it'll happen one day.
Thank you for...
I'm waiting for the actual weebs to listen to our... filler arc and be like, no,
this is all
you're wrong.
This is all terrible.
You're wrong. Your anime choices are trash.
And there might be things that we misremember, but we're just enjoying talking about a show that we love. Really, that's the whole thing. If we really wanted to be super professional about it, we'd probably like watch every episode and like make notes and be super detailed about it. But mm-hmm. we're just having a fun conversation about a show that we love, and that's really what we wanted to share with everybody by doing this style of show. So,
right.
And that'll, like I said, season one in the books, not season one of filler arc, but obviously season one of My Hero Academia. We'll be moving on to season two next time.
Yep.
Everybody have a good day. Stay safe. Take care of yourselves.
Later.